Our first reading today is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. In this one, he really wants to give some idea of the doctrinal basis of being within the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, we take it from chapter 2, verse 1. You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived following the course of this world, following the rule of the power of the air and the spirit that is now at work amongst those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. And he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not the results of works, so that no one may boast, for we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So this morning we have John speaking to us. Our young people, we have our resurrection gardens are continuing, and we need a background for our resurrection garden because there's a tomb and there is the flowers and everything growing up around that tomb, but we need the crosses in the back. So we have a background there. Coda did hers last week, so she's going to help Grace, and we're going to do a background for this week. So that's there so that we have three crosses, not just one, because there were three, weren't there? There was one either side of Jesus. So that's what we're going to do now, and I'm going to leave you in John's capable hands.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you that you have brought us to your place of worship this morning. Lord, we pray that as we study your word together, that you would illuminate your word by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts, that you would renew us, that you would refresh us, that you would correct us, that you would do your work amongst us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, called to serve by grace. And I put a little note there. Are we in trouble? Is Janice in trouble? Because in 1521, she would have been. Not only that, I would have been in trouble, probably even more so. And you guys would be under suspicion and would probably be followed around. And it wouldn't be long before you were in prison. Such is the power of the message that I'm going to preach. Because in 1521, there was a thing, it was a meeting by the Holy Roman Empire. And they gathered together and they called it the Diet of Worms, pronounced Worms, the Diet of Worms. Now, it all had to do with this guy, Martin Luther. At the end of this rather interesting church meeting, they declared Martin Luther a heretic. And that was interesting, because they also declared him an enemy of the state. And that was really good, well, for them, but not for Martin Luther, because anyone could kill him without any legal consequences. So it shows you what an important message this is that Janice has planned for us to listen to today. Let's look at the why. Martin Luther had read his Bible. We've got to remember we're living in a time when not many people could find the scriptures and not many people could read. But Martin Luther had read the Bible, and to his amazement, he found something like this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's read that together. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And as Luther read this, a revelation came to him. And it was the beginning of the Reformation. For the next 200 years, certainly in Europe, thousands of people lost their lives for this truth. What does it say to us? It says we are undeserved. It's undeserved. It's free. And we can't earn it. The grace of God is free, is undeserved. We can't earn it. But the problem is that God's people have short memories. Unfortunately, it's always been that way. And if we go back into the Old Testament, and we didn't actually do the Old Testament reading, but it pops up there. And then I found this in Psalm 106, verse 13. "But they soon forgot what he had done and did not wait for his plan to unfold." Now, of course, we're in the Old Testament here, and the issue was different. But the outcome was the same, in that the people lost their way. They forgot what God had actually said, and they started to wander. And unfortunately, that was the case with the early church. Sorry, let me go back one. We're not there yet. That was the case with the early church, and Paul, writing to the Ephesians, was aware of that and wanted to bring correction. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works." So it happened in the Old Testament, it happened in the New, and interestingly, it can happen to us too. So have I lost the plot? I don't know how you came to the Lord. It would be interesting this morning if we spent a little bit of time going around the room and asking, you know, what was your point of conversion? What was the light bulb moment for you? I know some of you actually came at a Billy Graham meeting, and I can imagine the struggle that people had sometimes to get out of their seats and go down to the front. Might have been an ordinary church meeting like this. For me, I was in the Salvation Army at the time, and we were often called to come and kneel at the front. But it was an action. It was a step of faith. And it is so important that we take that step of faith. If that was your road, you started in grace, because as you took that step of faith, God's grace entered. You have eternal life. You have charis. Charis is the Greek word of the word grace. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit in you. The problem is that sometimes we forget that. We sometimes miss our way. And in missing our way, when we, even though we've started in faith, we can go back into works. Human beings love to sort out their own problems. We're all problem solvers, aren't we? And we all like to know we can do it. We can sort ourselves out. We've got that in our DNA. I can do it. And because we've got that in our DNA, the message of grace can be a real problem to us. Because what we tend to do, and we do this in all sorts of churches, is we tend to get into a routine of doing stuff. And if we're not careful, our minds begin to get round the idea, oh, if I do more of this, if I do more of that, if I pray more, if I fast more, if I do more setting up in the church, if I help to cook for Alpha, these things will make me right with God. And they won't. And it doesn't matter. I remember being in a Christian fellowship on one point, and we were into prayer and fasting. And that was always a challenge, particularly when we did it across a weekend. And I would hear these wonderful stories of saintly guys, much more saintly than me, that would be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and praying for 2 hours. And I thought, oh, can I do that? And in my mind, I was beginning to think, oh, if I did that, I'd be there. But I wouldn't be, would I? Because if I did that, there would always be something else and something else and something else. So isn't it wonderful that we're released from all that? Amen? We do not have to live under that. We do not live under works, but we live under grace. Faith supernaturally releases God's grace. Our acts of service flow out of God's grace, not the other way round. Now, I've also been in the church, not a million miles from here, where they made the other mistake. It's possible for us to go the other way and begin to think, I am saved by grace. Thank you very much. Doesn't really matter if I go to church today. Doesn't really matter if I upset people, if I stand on people's toes. Doesn't really matter if I cut people up as I'm driving around. Doesn't even matter if I'm rude to the person in the cash out. It doesn't matter if I do this, because I'm saved by grace. And I can go along each Sunday and thank you, Jesus, you have saved me by grace. I want you to know that though grace is totally, totally free, it is also costly. We are called and equipped for acts of service, but there is a cost. And I think that's up on the slide there. This guy, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, lived in the 20th century. Some of you will know he was a great German theologian. And he lived in the 1930s as Hitler was coming to power in Germany. He was a German. In 1939, he was able to get on a ship. He was quite a wealthy guy. He was able to get on a ship and escape to America. And he could have lived out the war in America and gone back and continued in a university there. But after a short time, Dietrich Bonhoeffer realized that grace was costly. And he said, I cannot live here in America. I need to go back to Germany, because if I don't go back to Germany, I can have no part in the building of that nation after this war is open. So he got on a steamer and he went back to Germany. In 1939, he died. Was it 1945, the last year of the war, he died in a concentration camp. Grace is free, but it's costly. To come absolutely up to date, this young man, you remember that in a few months ago, he was free. He was in the West. But he chose, and he'd just been poisoned, incidentally, but he chose to go back to Russia, probably with the same thoughts that Dietrich Bonhoeffer had. In fact, in 1921, Alexei said this. He said, blessed, well, he was quoting from the Bible, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. And he said, this is more or less an instruction to activity. In other words, he was basing his life upon scripture. So he was a Christian. He was following the Lord. And in that, as you all know, he died. So in application, let's just take a look at this. There's a story in the Old Testament, and it's when the Israelites have just come out of Egypt. And God says, there's the promised land. And I said, well, okay, that might be all right. We'll get a few spies and make sure we're right here. So they sent their spies across. The spies came back, and two of them came back and said, fantastic, let's go in. There, it's wonderful. But the rest of the spies said, oh, I'm not sure about that. We've seen some giants there, and I'm not sure if we can, we probably can't cope with that. And you know the story. They didn't cope with that. They went out into the desert, where they remained for a very long time. Now, that's a little picture of us, or can be. When God shows us something, we need to act upon it. If we don't, we're a bit like the children of Israel, saying, not too sure. It takes courage. I'm sure Dietrich Bonhoeffer did not go to Germany thinking life's going to be wonderful. He would have been a fool, and he wasn't a fool. He knew he was signing his death warrant, probably. Now, I don't believe God's calling any of us to such a tragic thing as that. But nevertheless, God is calling us to progress in faith, day by day, week by week, to become the people, the children of God that he wants us to be. So whenever we hear the voice of God, we need to take that step forward. That step of faith, which might mean laying things down. And I was just, another point here, I was just sort of thinking, we work ever so hard at St. Mark's, all of us. And we do lots of different things. And we're only a small team doing a lot of stuff. And, you know, sometimes frustrations come. You should have seen us in the first service with the IT. Frustrations come along and difficulties come along and people do things differently from us and we wonder what on earth is going on. And if we get the wrong side of that stuff, it screws us up. It destroys our peace. It destroys our grace. You see what I'm saying here? If we get a hold of that sort of, if we dwell in the wrong place, in the wilderness, it destroys our peace. And I think a very specific thing I just want to share with you this morning, and I'm not perfect, and it happens to me as much as it happens to you, but I believe the Lord would say to us this morning, I want to free you from the struggles, from the difficulties, from the things that you're finding hard at the moment. You don't have to live in them because we are free by grace. Now, whether we take that on or not, it's going to be me and it's going to be you. But I believe God can release us from that. And the struggles will still be there. The difficulties will still be there. But the difference is we lay them down. And by God's grace, which is supernatural, He will show the way. The Lord has actually done that in St. Mark's in the last few years on at least two or three occasions. And I could quote chapter and verse, but I won't this morning. But the Lord has actually done that. He will do it again. And He will build His kingdom. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have saved us by grace. We are free to serve by grace. Lord, would You take us now as we offer our lives afresh to You, as we lay down the frustrations, the challenges, the sores, the hurt, the difficult emotions, we lay them down. We put them to death on the cross, that You, Lord, might be Lord of all our lives and that we might live by grace. Amen.